Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Turning Congregation, down south of 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 7th, 2017. Early as if 11/2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, And He Lives. Our ever risen Savior, He's in the world today. And all that He is living, what every man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. Just the time I need Him, He's always there. Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Bless me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. All the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. And in His appearing will come at last. He lives. Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to Him part. Bless me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Yahshua the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and he lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along that narrow way. He lives, salvation to Him pour. Bless me how I know He lives. Part 18, Gentiles, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us continue our series. Paul's revelation of the Yahweh. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to the visions and revelations of the Yahshua. I knew a man in the Yahshua about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, Yahweh knoweth, such an one called up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, Yahweh knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now we all have infirmities. And if we don't, there's something wrong with us if we don't have infirmities. Now that don't sound right, does it? Well, if we don't have infirmities, then there's nothing wrong with us. But Paul had infirmities. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed for it to be removed, and Yahweh didn't remove it. He left it there to keep him humble. For though I would desire the glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. There it is right there. For the messenger of the Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Yahweh three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my grace is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of the Yahshua may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in the persecutions, and distresses for the Yahshua's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool, and glorying, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For sin in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior unto other congregations, except it be that I myself was not burdensome unto you? Forgive me this wrong. Paul's come and visit, verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come unto you, and I will not be burdensome unto you, for I seek not yours, but you, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, thank you that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before the Yahweh and the Yahshua. But we do all things dearly, beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. There shall be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swelling tumults, and lest when I come again, my Yahweh will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many, which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness, and fornication, and lasciviousness, which they have committed. End of chapter 12. Let's go now into chapter 13, an exhortation and prayer. First, this is the third time I am coming unto you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. and being absent now I write unto them which heretofore have sinned and to all other, that if I come again I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of the Yahshua speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of Yahweh, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of Yahweh towards you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Yahshua Messiah is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to Yahweh that ye do not, that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use a sharpness according unto the power which Yahshua hath given me unto edification and not unto destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of a good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the Yahweh of the love and peace shall be with you. That's quite an exhortation right there. I'm going to read that again, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of the good comfort. Be of the one mind. Live in the peace and the Yahweh of the love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. For the grace of the Yahweh, for the grace of the Savior Yahshua the Messiah, and the love of the Father Yahweh, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. And that's a prayer that was prayed, no doubt, not only for them, but for all those that were to follow in their footsteps. All right, that's the end of 2 Corinthians, the whole book of 2 Corinthians. Let's go right on in now to Galatians. We're going on to the rest of the Holy Scriptures, clear through the end of Revelation, chapter 22. All right, now let's read the introduction of the Galatians. It says, Paul is the author of the Galatians. It was probably written in A.D. 49. Paul begins this book with a reaffirmation of his apostolic authority, then quickly proceeds to explain the doctrine of the justification by the faith and the blood, I add the blood, and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. He carefully defines and argues that the doctrine from the several viewpoints, from the experience, from the law, from Abraham, from the personal testimony, and from the allegory, in the final two chapters, Paul offers practical advice concerning the application of the justification by the faith and the blood of the Yahshua in a day-to-day life. Now, the way that Paul explained that, he explained that there is a daily that is a sect called the two sacred hours of the day, the third hour and the ninth hour. That was part of, that is, was and is part of the law of Yahweh given unto Moses in a book. And that daily was laid down for a purpose for those, especially of the leadership. that they should instruct their congregation always to observe the daily. Okay, and whatever, go read it. Go read the Law of Moses and see what it says about the daily. Actually, it's in Exodus 29. Let's start with verse 35. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and unto his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for the atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the air on the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer up on the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Now what does it mean, day by day, continually? It's for that 7 day consecration. Okay, 39. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at the evening. So when is that time? That's at the 3rd hour and the 9th hour. And with the one lamb, a 10th day. Okay, that's enough for that. But that right there shows you it's a even when they did any kind of service in the sanctuary back then. It was done at those hours when Elijah went upon Mount Carmel to Ahab and to contest him for the true Yahweh of Israel. They had the offering at the 3rd hour and the 9th hour. And he gave the false prophets of Baal the 3rd hour, which was in the morning. He let them go first. And they had 6 hours to try to call down their God to consume their offering upon the altar. And then Elijah took over at the 9th hour, and you know what happened. Okay. So now let's go back to Galatians. We're reading about Galatians. And that it says, in the final 2 chapters, Paul offers practical advice concerning the application and justification of the justification by the faith in the blood of Yahshua in a day-to-day life. That's Galatians 5:7 and 6:14. Are two of the best-known verses in Galatians. Okay, now we go now into the 1st chapter of Galatians. And it talks about the only gospel to be preached. Alright, now, I've changed that gospel, for the most part, to one of 3 words, I guess. Message, or truth, or doctrine. Alright. You could say, for the only truth to be preached, or the only doctrine of the Yahshua to be preached. I'm going to start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by the man, but by the Yahshua Messiah and Yahweh the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the congregations of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from Yahweh the Father and from our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, who gave himself for our sins. There it is again. 3 times Paul is talking about how Yahshua was given for our sins. He being a Hebrew Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, he was not of the tribe of Judah, or he'd be called a Jew. Paul was not a Judahite. The tribe of Judah are the only ones that are called Jews. Of course, that's a misnomer today. The whole world includes all of the Hebrew Israelites as Jews. All right. So it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world, present evil world, according to the will of Yahweh and our Father. Now, how are we going to get out of this evil world? Yahshua died for the sins of those that was living in his day that ended up being saved to be resurrected in the end time. So those Gentiles that accepted the plan of the salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua taught by the Paul, they are the only ones that were living at that time that will be saved if they accepted Paul's teachings and received of the daily refreshings of the blood of the sprinkling of the Yahshua in a new and living way. Hebrews 10:20, Hebrews 12:20 to about 24. By the blood of sprinkling. Now, it says there once again, and I've told you before in Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 8, for Yahweh commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he said he died for our sins according to the scriptures. So there's at least three places right there where Paul refers to Yahshua dying for us. Well, the Adventist world today, 2,000 years later, they said, you see, Christ died on the cross for us. Well, then why are they living in sin? You mean to tell me they believe he died on the cross for their sins? But yet they are living in sin and don't know how to get out of it. So you see what's happened. The world has been brainwashed by their ministers, both of the Protestant, of the Gentile world and of the Hebrew Israelite world. They've all been brainwashed by their ministers and rabbis in the Jewish world and all over Israel that Yahshua died for their sins. I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelites that believes in the Messiah. I'm not talking about those Greek Orthodox Jews that don't believe in him, because they don't believe that Yahshua died for their sins, especially the descendants of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes back then and their descendants. They don't believe in it. So it says, let's go on, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of Yahweh and our Father, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Okay, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Yeshua unto another God, to another, it says gospel here, and you know what I say, unto another truth, or unto another message, or unto another doctrine. Now you can interchange any one of those three words right there to take the word of gospel, because gospel is a pagan term to begin with, meaning God spelled it out in the Old Testament, which is fine, but if you want to put Yahweh on the front of P-E-L, Yahweh spelled it out in the New Testament, in the Old Testament through the law of Moses. And that is in the sanctuary system, Psalm 77:13. That way, O Yahweh is in the sanctuary. Alright. Galatians 1:7, which is not another. Now let's read verse 6 again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of the Yeshua, unto another message, truth, doctrine, that is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the truth of the doctrine of the Yahshua, or the message of the Yahshua. But though we are an angel from the heaven, preach any other gospel, there you go again, preach any other message, any other truth, any other doctrine unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, apparently then the whole world is under a curse. Because it goes on to say right there over there, just a little further over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, verse 12, but and the law is not of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, I added that, but the man that doeth them, in other words, that walks in those statutes and judgments of the sanctuary, shall live in them. For the Yahshua, verse 13, Galatians 3, for the Yahshua has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. All right, now let's, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, so now it says, Yahshua has redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, from the false teachings of the Greek Orthodox Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees back then. Them writing those 613 additional precepts and statutes and laws and inculcating them into the law of Moses, it made a curse. And so Yahweh and Yahshua put a curse upon those people for doing that. Yahshua has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he redeem us from the curse of the law? By his blood. That's how we get out from under the curse of the law. For it says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. That's the curse of the law. But there's a remedy. And there is an escape hatch through the blood of Yahshua, being made a curse for us. So the law was made a curse for us. What law? The Ten Commandment law. There is no blood offering in the Ten Commandment law. So while those that become perfect and live perfect under the Ten Commandment law, those that don't become perfect, they are under the curse of it. Unless they accept the new offering of the way of escape, the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant, then they can escape the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's in Galatians 3:13. And verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, there it is right there, through the Yahshua Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. And you know what it says in Romans 3:25? I've read it before to you that, I guess I can read it again real quickly if I can find it. It says, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, for the declaring of his righteousness, for the remission of the sins that are past. So how did Yahshua die for Paul's sins? Paul said he died for my sins while I was yet a sinner there in Romans chapter 5. So how did he die for them? Paul first had to have the sin on his record. And as soon as Yahshua died for his sins, it was for his sins that were past. That's pure and simple. Okay, let's go back to Galatians now. Chapter 1. It says, verse 11, but I certify, Paul's authority, but I certify you, brethren, that the message or doctrine or the truth which was preached of me, and that's the doctrine of the Yahshua, which was preached of me, is not after the man. For I neither received it of the man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah. For you have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the congregation of Yahweh and wasted it, and profited it in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. There's this word grace. You know, the Gentile world, these Methodists down here, their congregation organization is founded upon the one word, and that's grace. We're saved by grace. Saved by grace, not by works. That's all they holler. We're saved by grace. They don't start to know what the word grace implies. And I'm even learning more about it myself today as I do these studies. I learned that word grace has a lot of applications that cover other aspects more than just being saved by grace. Yes, we are overall saved by grace. But it says we're justified by grace through the blood of Yahshua. Okay. Alright, let's go on to verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. Now that went I up unto Yahushua, unto them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Yahushua to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, Yahshua's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before Yahweh I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the congregations of the Judea, and were in the Yahshua. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in the times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified Yahweh in me. Then 14 years after I went up against the Jerusalem, again unto Yahweh. Okay. That ends chapter 1 of Galatians, there, verse 24. Let's read verse 23 again and 24, closing out Galatians chapter 1. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in the times past now preached the faith and the blood of the plan of the salvation, or through the blood of the Yahshua, through the everlasting covenant, and which once he destroyed, and he glorified Yahweh in me. Okay, now we're going to Galatians chapter 2, start with verse 1, and we're going to read about further evidence of this truth I just read about, of this the true doctrine of the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant. Let's start with verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again unto Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by the revelation and communicated unto them that doctrine, that truth, that message, that plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately unto them which were of the reputation, lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. So Paul says, I went up after 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem, because Barnabas and took charge with me, and I went by the revelation and communicated unto to them that gospel, doctrine, of the Yeshua, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately unto them. I didn't go out in the open in the synagogues or at the Jewish synagogues. I went privately unto them which were of the reputation. In other words, those that were rabbis, those that were teachers in Israel, those that were teachers of what they call the truth or of the law. I went to those that were reputation for doing this, lest by any means I should have run in vain. So he said, if I had gone up there and started preaching to the people on the street, I might have run in vain. I went to the leaders up there, and so that I wouldn't have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, Titus now, a Greek, meaning he was a Jew. Now, well, they call them Jews. The Greek was not of the tribe of Judah, so they were of the Jewish sect. I don't know what tribe the Greeks are from, but they're not from the tribe of Judah. Was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, that we have in the Yeshua Messiah, that they might bring us into bondage, unto whom we gave place by the subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the doctrine of the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua might continue with you. Now, I added all of that extra that in the place of the word gospel. So when I do that, pretty well recognize that's what's going on, because I want you to get the full picture of what Paul was teaching and get that ingrained in your minds. And you you teachers as well out there, Jeff White, all of you, you teach this just this way. Don't use that word gospel. If you use it, say, in other words, gospel means the doctrine or the truth or a message of the Yahshua. Or the message. Or the doctrine of the Yahshua. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Yahweh accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing unto me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel, in other words, I'm going to put now the new doctrine, because the gospel of the New Testament is a new doctrine of the teachings of the Yahshua. In other words, a doctrine means teachings, the teachings of the Messiah. Now, what happened in Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes upon the Mount of Olives? When upon the Mount. I guess I don't know what mount it was. But anyway, the people went up on the Mount, and he presented the Beatitudes unto them. And what did he tell the people up on the Mount? Blessed are those who do thus and thus and thus and thus. And it said right here, starting with Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was sit, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is new doctrine. Okay, so when you see that word gospel here anywhere in the New Testament, the word gospel, say the new doctrine of the teachings of the Yahshua on the new and of the new and living way by the blood of sprinkling through the everlasting the blood of the everlasting covenant. All right. So I'm going to read that verse 7 again, Galatians chapter 2. The contrary was, when they saw that the new doctrine, teachings of the Yahshua of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the new teachings of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, all these doctrines in the New Testament were the new teachings, a new explanation of circumcision. And in other words, having a little different application in the New Testament than the Old Testament. For he that wrought effectively in the Peter unto the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Let's read that again, verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in the Peter unto the apostleship of the circumcision. Now when it says circumcision, it's talking about the Pharisees. It's talking about the Sadducees. They were of the circumcision. In other words, they were set aside to be the progenitors and the teachers of the plan of salvation. They were the ones that were set aside to introduce Yahshua when he came on the scene to show the transition from the old economy to the new economy. That's what the circumcision was allocated for. The Pharisees represented the circumcision, the Sadducees. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, and the uncircumcision always refers to the Gentiles that were yet to come. The circumcision had already come. The uncircumcision is yet to come and join the circumcision. In other words, Gentiles come second. They're the second fruits. They're ones that are come and to be joined unto the house of Israel, which represents the circumcision. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace, perceived of the grace that was given unto me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of the fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen. Okay, who were the heathen? Gentiles. In other words, heathen is another name used for those that are unenlightened, that are in darkness, without the knowledge of the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's who the heathen are. There's a remnant among the heathen, and that would be then the Gentiles. But now, heathen is another, has a broader application. Heathen can also apply to the modern-day Seventh-day Adventists who have never walked in the advancing light of the truth from 1844 on. They only walked in the advancing light, the remnant did, during their allotted time. In other words, Adventist churches, represented by 40-year periods. The Adventist church had four 40-year periods. Okay, which covered 160 years. People don't realize this. Adventists had from 1850, the birth of the testimonies, to 1890, that was the first 40-year period. From 1890 to 1930 was your second 40-year period, according to Ezekiel 4. And the third 40-year period is from 1930 to 1970, and the fourth 40-year period is from 1970 to 2010, that I was a part of. Gilead Center was the one that represented the holding place for the fourth 40-year period. So that's another thing to consider. The fourth 40-year period? Okay. So the fourth 40-year period closed out the 11th parabolic hour and tucked in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay. Now, the third 40-year period closed out the 10th parabolic hour and introduced the 11th parabolic hour. So the Adventist, the first feeding perturbation, the first 40 years, and the second 40 years, Carmel. So the Adventist covered, for the 10th parabolic hour alone, the Adventist covered from 1844 to 1970, incorporated three 40-year periods. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye, but let us go on. In Galatians chapter 2, we're in verse 9. It says, Barnabas, that we should go unto the heathen, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. So we're to go to the Gentiles, and they were to go unto the Pharisees. That was the current circumcision at that time, in charge of the temple of the house of Israel. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same that I also was forward to do. Surely when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him unto his face, because he was to be blamed. Before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the Jews, the Pharisees, in other words. And the other Jews, here it goes right there, and the other Jews dissembled. Okay, so that was, in other words, the other Jews of the Judaizers dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according unto the truth of the gospel, and you know, I would say the most appropriate word there would be the truth of the doctrine, or the truth of the teaching of the Yahshua. I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and I know Paul didn't use that word Jew. I know he didn't use that word. He used that word Judaite. I know what he used. If thou been a Judaite of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Galatians, Genesis 49:10, the tribe of Judah is the lawgiver. If thou been a Judaite of the tribe of Judah, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Judaites, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jew, as do the Judaizers? In other words, you're going to go join the Gentiles and live like they do. Why are you compelling them to live like the Judaizers are living, of the circumcision? Because you're there to join the uncircumcision to the house of the circumcision. So why are you doing this? Verse 15. We who are Judaizers by the nature. Now here's Paul talking about we who are the Judaizers. This is a wrong term. Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. He made that clear. So he was not a Judaite. He was a Hebrew Israelite. So he should have said, we who are of the Hebrew Israelites by the nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Okay, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of the in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah. See, Paul says by the faith of Yahshua Messiah. Well, that don't tell me anything. But if I say by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah, that tells me everything I need to know about the full truth of the matter. Even we have believed in the Yahshua Messiah. In other words, even we have believed in the saving grace by the blood of the Yahshua, that we might be justified by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. I'll put that in the place of the word of, and not by the works of the law. Okay? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by the blood of the Yahshua, I'll put the blood in there, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Yahshua the minister of sin? Yahweh forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. See? Now, Paul talked about how he destroyed the faith, right there, and how he destroyed the faith of the Hebrews, right there in Galatians 1, 23 and 24, it says that they had heard only that he which persecuted us in the time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. There's that word destroyed again, say. So Paul says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, in other words, I once destroyed the Jews, and if I build again that which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor if Yahshua is a minister of sin. Now that's your understanding there. For I through the law am dead unto the law. In other words, for I through the law are dead unto the curse of the law. And I read it to you earlier about there in Galatians chapter 3. It says about the curse of the law. Verse 13. Of course it says, Yahshua hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So it says right here in verse Galatians 2:19, for I through the law am dead unto the law, that I might live unto the Yahweh. I am crucified with the Yahshua, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Yahshua liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of the Yahshua. Yahweh. No, by the faith of the Yahweh the Father. Let's read that again. I live by the faith of the Son. I would put the preposition in. For I live by the faith in the blood of the Son of the Yahweh the Father, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now here's Paul again, talking about how Yahshua gave himself for him while he was yet sinners in Romans chapter 5 and other places. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of the Father, Yahweh. For if righteousness, let's do that again, for if the righteousness come by the law, then Yahshua is dead in the vain. Well, that pretty well takes care of that subject, as best I can tell. That ends chapter 2 of Galatians. We might go on into Galatians chapter 3. It's a pretty long chapter. Start with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Here's that truth, you see. Well, why didn't Paul say the word gospel here? They've been saying it all through here. That's what the translators had been doing. And I suspect that the translators had invented and created that word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, to take the place of the word truth in so many cases. Because right here, truth right here. Could very well be saying that you should not obey the gospel. Okay. Before whose eyes Yahshua Messiah hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? In 2 Thessalonians 1:8 it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the Yahweh and that obey not the gospel of the Savior Yahshua Messiah. And then in 1 Peter 4:17, it also gives us the word, it says, but for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Yahweh? Now, you can easily read that obey not the truth of Yahweh. And also in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, you can also read that same way. And it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the Yahweh, and that obey not the truth of our, or the doctrine of our Savior Yahshua Messiah. So you can take that word truth, and you can put it first and foremost in the place of that word gospel anywhere in the scriptures. That is the most, that's the hardest noun you can use for the teachings of Yahshua is the word truth. Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end for this hour. We're going to save Galatians chapter 3 for our next service. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song that I've written entitled, A Fountain Has Been Opened. They tell me of a life that I long to understand. I have not seen, there's nothing to compare. Soon years of faith, tempered with this grace. Don't those who want to know, you're open to the longing soul. Over has been provided a long time ago. Earth's greatest treasures are in her hands to hold. So take a hold of the life-giving power in the soul. Down to the sands of time, God has made it known, man is much better off, he's not left alone, for the safety in the numbers in the time of death. Angels are the helpers in the intercede, fountain has been open to cleanse a longing soul, for a way has been provided. Giving power in the soul. Yah gave the prophets to reveal his secret truth. And it is no secret what the Heavenly Father can do. For there is a better way and easy to explain. Oh, what can't be shaken? A fountain has been opened to cleanse a lonely soul. Oh, a way has been provided a long time ago. Earth's greatest treasures are in hands to hold. So take hold of the life-giving power in the